Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Thira Panachari. Jamuna Thira Panachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jamuna Thira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramhamsa Padipraja Kacharasa Astotar Sutta Sri Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya. ISKCON BPT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jaya Om Vishnu Pad Paramhamsa Padipraja Kacharasa Astotar Sutta Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Ananti Koti Vaishnav Brinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sikoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath, Sham Kund Radha Kund Giti Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Braj Bhumi Brindavan Dham Ki Jai, Sri Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Dwarka Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Yamuna Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai, Gaura Brahmanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aho imam pasyatam evinasham. Tapasvina saccharita vratasya. Anta jale varichara prasangat. Prachyavitam brahmachiram dritam yat. Aho imam pasyatam me vinasham. Tapasvina saccharita vratasya. Antarjale varichara prasangat. Prachyavitam brahmachiram dritam yat. Aho imam pasyatam me vinasham. Tapasvina saccharita vratasya. Antha jale varichara prasangat. Prachyavitam brahmachidam dritam yat. Imam, this, pashyata, just see, may, of me, vinasham, fall down, tapasvina, who was such a great mystic, performing austerity, sat charita, a very good character, observing all necessary rules and regulations, bratasya, of one who has taken a vow strictly, antajale, in the depths of the water, vadichara prasangat, because of the affairs of the aquatics. Prasyavitam, fallen. Brahma, from the activities of Brahman realization or austerity. Chidam, for a long time. Dhritam, executed. Yat, which. Alas, while practicing austerity, even within the depths of the water, and while observing all the rules and regulations practiced by saintly persons, I lost the results of my long austerities simply by association with the sexual affairs of fish. Everyone should observe this fall down and learn from it. Sangam tyajeta mituna pratinam namukshu sarvatmanana visvajed ahir indriyani ekashcharana rahasi chitam ananta ishe yunji tatad pratishu sadhu suchit prasangam. A person desiring liberation from material bondage must give up the association of persons interested in sex life and should not enjoy his senses externally in seeing, hearing, talking, walking, and so on. One should always stay in a secluded place, completely fixing his mind at the lotus feet of the unlimited personality of Godhead. And if one wants any association at all, he should associate with persons similarly engaged. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Sobari Muni, giving conclusions derived from his practical experience, instructs us that persons interested in crossing to the other side of the material ocean must give up the association of persons interested in sex life and accumulating money. This is also advised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajano Mukhasya Paramparam Jigamasora Bhavasagarasya Sandarshanam Vishayanam Matayoshitam Cha Hahanta Hanta Visha Bhakshanatopya Sadhu. Alas, for a person seriously desiring to cross the material ocean and engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without material motives, seeing a materialist engaged in sense gratification, and seeing a woman who is similarly interested, is more abominable than drinking poison willingly. One who desires complete freedom from material bondage can engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. He must not associate with Vishayi, materialistic persons, or those interested in sex life. Every materialist is interested in sex. Thus, in plain language, it is advised that an exalted saintly person avoid the association of those who are materially inclined. Srila Narottam Das Thakur also recommends that one engage in the service of the acharyas, and if one wants to live in association, he must live in the association of devotees. Tandra Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas. The Krishna consciousness movement is creating many centers just to create devotees, so that by associating with the members of such a center, people will automatically become uninterested in material affairs. Although this is an ambitious proposal, this association is proving effective by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By gradually associating with the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, simply by taking prasad and taking part in chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, ordinary persons are being considerably elevated. Sobari Muni regrets that he had bad association, even in the deepest part of the water.
because of the bad association of the sexually engaged fish, he fell down. A secluded place is also not secure unless there is good association. Om Agyantimirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhastatya Deshatarine Bansha Kalpatadubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Wish to offer my gratitude to Swavas Prabhu and Arachita Prabhu for giving me this opportunity to serve you today by speaking from these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we are reading from Canto 9, Chapter 6. Entitled The Downfall of Saubari Muni, chapter, text 50 and 51. These verses are the realizations brought about by many years of various challenges and experiences within the world by this very powerful personality, Saubari Muni. He was such a yogi, such an ascetic. Not only did he not have any fixed residence, not only did he not have a single change of clothes, he didn't have any bank account. Materially, he had absolutely nothing. And he was happy. He was happy experiencing the realizations of the eternal soul within himself. He was getting some glimpses of that. Otherwise, how could he carry on? He came to such a level in his mystic practices that he didn't even have to breathe air the way we do. He would go under water and stay there for long durations of time to meditate. But we find in this chapter that he happened to see two little fish enjoying sexual pleasures together. And that ignited something in him where he wanted to do the same thing. There was like a little spark that was still left in him for material enjoyment. And just seeing that situation fueled that spark. He came out of the water looking for the opportunity. And as has been discussed, he was a mystic, so he could, whatever he wanted to do, he really knew how to do it. If he wanted to perform tapasya or austerities, he can perform austerities like practically no one else can do. So when he wanted to enjoy, he didn't want to just, you know, do some mediocre enjoyment. He was pretty extreme. He decided to go to the king and marry his princess. But as was explained, he was really old, and he was a sadhu, and he had long matted hair, and being underwater for years at a time really does something to your skin. So he told the king, I want to marry one of your daughters. And the king, knowing that none of my daughters is going to want to marry you, they have all the promises in the world in front of them. So he said, my daughters could marry anyone they wish. So he just chanted some mantras, and his body became young and beautiful. His hair became really nice. And he came back in, and all the daughters of the king wanted to marry him. So, you know, he lived underwater. What is he going to do with all these princesses now? Because they're used to luxuries. So he just chanted some mantras. Prapti Siddhi. Or you can basically get whatever you want. He had this power to manipulate material energy. And he created so many palaces and such beautiful gardens and wardrobes to provide for the princesses and himself and even the king, who was the wealthiest man in the world, when he saw what Sobari Muni was providing for his daughters, he realized, comparatively, I have nothing. And it's really interesting because Sobari Muni didn't even get a job. All he did is chant some mantras. And he had better palaces than anything in Bel Air or Beverly Hills or Brentwood or anything in California. And he created such a situation that they just lived together. Now in the material world, we say happily ever after. But there is no material arrangement wherein we could live happily ever after. But he did enjoy a lot. Quite a transformation just by seeing two little fish in the water. But after years of enjoying to the highest levels imaginable, heavenly experiences, because that seed of the taste that he once had for self-realization was still in his heart, he got kind of tired of material enjoyment. And when you start getting tired of material enjoyment, then Maya, the illusory energy, makes you think you just need some more. You're not getting enough. You need more money. You need more sexual pleasures. You need more prestige. You need more power. You need more influence. You need more things to play with. And You need upgraded computers these days. There's always the promise that you'll be happy if you just get something more. Now, Sobari Muni, he's really a good example, because materially he could get anything he wanted, and he did. But he was still tired of it, so he needed more. He was still getting tired of it. He needed more. He was getting some experience. He was getting some happiness, some pleasure. But then it didn't last, so he needed more. And finally, he came to the remembrance of what he had when he was underwater before those fish came around. He was really happy. He was happy without all this stuff. He was finding some happiness within himself. But it wasn't complete happiness. Because he was, to a large extent, he was Brahman realized. He was realizing the infinite nature of the soul. He was realizing, to some extent, the illusions of this world. Otherwise, why did he live like that? But because he had not connected with loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there was still an incompleteness in his realization. And in that incompleteness, even in the name of compassion toward little fish, he made an offense to a great acharya, a great devotee, Garuda. He misunderstood him. And because of that, he displeased Krishna. And by displeasing Krishna, Krishna ultimately loves everyone. But if you displease him, then he's going to teach you a good lesson. And what is the lesson here? That no matter how powerful one may be in knowledge, in renunciation, in following regulative principles, no matter how many followers may have, Maya is supremely powerful. Srila Prabhupada tells us that Maya is Krishna's external energy. As the external energy, she's all powerful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Navadvip Dham Mahatmya that Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva, she saw Lord Shiva in ecstasy chanting the names of Gauranga. She said, "Tell me what you're doing." And he said, "In Navadvip Dham, Krishna's going to appear with the love of Sri Radha, and he's going to spread that love, and I'm chanting his names, and it's putting me in ecstasy." So she went to Shimantadweep, and she started meditating, and Lord Gauranga appeared to her. And when she saw him, his compassion to all beings, he was coming here to give everyone Prema Pumartha Mahan, the highest realization of love for Krishna. And she said, I'm Maya Devi. All your other devotees are helping take people away from Maya Devi. Take away from me. All your other devotees are bringing people back to the spiritual world, and my service is to keep everyone in this world. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Actually, you are Srimati Radharani. Radharani, my internal potency, to serve me within the context of material existence, she appears as you. You're doing a nice service." because it really awakens people by understanding the situation of this world, how no matter what endeavors we make, no matter what accomplishments or failures, we can't really be happy disconnected from our constitutional nature. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Rinitidas, that we're servants of the Lord. So Maya is very powerful. No money, no austerities, no knowledge, nothing can protect us ultimately from the powers of Maya. Because she has infinite energy, shakti. And we are tatasta shakti, we're the jiva. It is said that the jiva, the living entity, is always under the control of Krishna, either through Krishna's loving yogamaya potency or through mahamaya. Daivi yeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamivamye prapadyante mayameta tarantite. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that this material energy of maya is very, very powerful. Through these three modes of nature, the gunas, sattva guna, raja guna, tamaguna, like ropes that keep people tied up, very difficult to overcome. But then he says, but one who surrenders to me, who takes shelter of me, can easily cross beyond it. The analogy is given that trying to cross the maya by our own endeavors is like trying to swim across an ocean. Now, here in California, you get some understanding of the Pacific Ocean looks so nice, and people come from all over the world to see the ocean. But think about swimming across the ocean. But Maya is not like this little puddle called the Pacific Ocean. Maya is a limitless ocean. And many sharks and jellyfish and so many things are there. But one who takes shelter of the Lord, that limitless ocean is no more difficult to cross over than the quantity of water contained within the hoof print of a calf. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't even say a cow, a calf. Calf have tiny little footprints. So when we take shelter of Krishna, by Krishna's will, he reduces the powers of Maya so we can easily cross. Otherwise, on our own, it's impossible, whoever we may be. And we're getting stories like this from Srimad Bhagavatam to show, you know, who are we compared to Sobari Muni? If you want to be a brahmachari and perform tapasya, can you do it, Sobari Muni? What was he? He was a vegetarian. So what do you eat underwater? He didn't eat fish. He didn't eat for months at a time. He didn't eat anything. He didn't sleep. He didn't breathe. And it wasn't like he was bored. It wasn't like he was thinking, God, I have to do this for another 3 hours and I can go up and do some other stuff. He just stayed there for a long time, months. He was experiencing some glimpses of this Brahmananda, this experience within himself. So brahmacharis, how much can you do that? Huh? So he was much more austere And he really knew a lot of verses. He was really not knowledgeable. And as far as grihasthas, you know, you get some job, you work, you think, okay, look what I'm doing now. I have a nice apartment. And I have a family. He had magnificent palaces. He had the most beautiful ladies in the world as his wives. He was just enjoying. He didn't have to go to work. All he had to do was just enjoy and just say a few more mantras. And so from a material perspective, he was the most strict, austere brahmachari ever. He was the most luxuriously enjoying householder ever. But he came to that realization. Maya is so strong. Unless I humble myself before the Lord, whoever we are, we're going to be bewildered. Because that's the way Maya operates. For ordinary people who are completely subjugated by material energy and the desire to enjoy, it's just like automatic. Maya Devi just controls you on, like, you know, auto drive. You just she doesn't have to use any creative strategies. But for a devotee, she has to be creative. Or for a yogi, she has to be creative. Because yogis have the tools to actually overcome these influences. So Bari Muni, Srila Prabhupada ends this purport, even though he was in such a totally secluded place, still he was influenced. Why? Because he offended a great soul. He wasn't being protected by Krishna. This is bhakti. When we realize, we understand our complete dependence on the mercy of Krishna. The sustainability of even our morality, what to speak of our spiritual progress, is dependent on the mercy of Krishna. It's not dependent just on my own efforts. But Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, there's a beautiful verse, Tani Saravani Samyamya Yukta Asita Matpara Vasehi Yasyendriyani Tasya Pragya Pratishtata. In so many words, it kind of says God helps those who help themselves. Two things are important. Krishna says one must restrain one's senses from the objects. One can't just automatically think, let me enjoy and Krishna will protect me. We have to do our part. Even if it's painful, even if it's difficult, or even if it gives us happiness and pleasure. The dualities, you know, are interpreted in different ways by different people. But we're giving these regulative principles. We're giving these ethical principles. And we're also given sadhana. Krishna says one must learn to restrain one's senses and at the same time fix your consciousness on me. Take shelter of me. So Bari Muni was really restraining his senses to an incredible degree, but he wasn't taking shelter. And to take shelter, association of devotees is so important. Rupa Goswami gives us the 64 principles of bhakti. how to practice. He says five are most prominent. And then he tells you can't really do any of them unless you have proper association. Satsang, sadhu sangha. It's very important. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was the story of Lord Chaitanya when he was traveling through South India. He had one assistant that was traveling with him. His name was Kala Krishna Das. He was actually a really nice devotee. We read that when Lord Chaitanya in Puri told his devotees that he wanted to go to South India, he wanted to look for his brother, Vishwarup, who later became Shankararanya Maharaj. I want to find my brother. He's somewhere there. And I also want to spread this Prema Bhakti through Prem Sankirtan throughout the land. So all the devotees, they volunteered. It's very nice you're going, providing I go with you. It was absolutely heartbreaking for them to think that Lord Chaitanya would leave them. And in those days, there was no cell phones or internet or anything like that. Skypes where you keep connections. You have to keep connections heart to heart. Because when he left, there would be no news about him until he came back. And he was walking. That means several years. So each one of them were saying, I'll go with you. I know. Nityananda Prabhu would say, I know the way. I've done all these pilgrimages before. Lord Chaitanya lovingly explained why each of them were unqualified. While finding their faults, he was actually glorifying them. He said, I just want to not be disturbed by everyone serving me and doing things for me and chastising me and everything like that. So they understood, and they said, there's one very simple brahmachari here. His name is Kal Krishna Das. He'll be very nice. So Lord Chaitanya took him with him. But then in a certain place, somewhere around Karnataka, there was a band of really evil people called the Bhattataris. They were black tantrics. And they would do all sorts of quite ghastly rituals to develop supernatural powers so that they can exploit and manipulate others and control others. And they wanted recruits. They wanted people to join them. So what they would do, because they were very, very expert, they knew the weaknesses of people. So they would somehow or other get beautiful young girls and mesmerize them and control them by their mystical siddhis, their powers. And then they would have them, you know, attract young men. And then when the young men would come back to the young girls, then the Bhattataris would get them and control them. So somehow or other, when Lord Chaitanya was resting, they got Krishna Das, Kal Krishna Das, his own personal assistant. Lord Chaitanya saw he was gone. What am I going to do? He knew exactly what to do. Because the Bhattataris were in the... They were in the disguise of being sannyasis, sadhus. Just to exploit people. But Lord Chaitanya was so gracious. He went to the camp of the Bhattataris. He said, please give me my assistant back. Just like you're a sannyasi, and I'm a sannyasi, and you're all sannyasis, and you know how much, you know, you need your assistance. I need my assistant, so just give my assistant back. They were so outraged by this. How dare you ask anything from us? They picked up deadly weapons. Spears and knives and choppers and swords. And they came in clubs to attack Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To kill him. This whole band of mystical Bhattataris came running toward him. And he just looked at them with such pity. He didn't run away. He just stood there and watched. And he didn't do anything himself. But something incredible happened at that moment. As they were charging at him, saying terrible words toward him with their weapons in hands, uncontrollably the weapons slipped out of their hands and their own weapons started attacking them. Like in the air. Like a sword. Just this person was going to chop off Lord Chaitanya's arm, so the sword just slipped out of his hand and chopped off his arm. And this person who had a club, he wanted to beat Lord Chaitanya on the head, and suddenly just came out of his mind, and the club started going, smashing his head, and all the Bhattataris are running away, screaming and crying, and the weapons were all chasing after them. And Lord Chaitanya grabbed Krishnadas and said, come. And Krishnadas learned his lesson. You have to be really attentive. Srila Prabhupada would say, Krishna consciousness is like razor's edge. We have to be very attentive. And Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, he said, you Western boys and girls, but it really applies to Eastern boys and girls too, and men and women, and everyone from everywhere in the world of all ages. He said, your problem is you do not understand the power of Maya. You do not have enough fear of Maya. Now, fear of Maya doesn't make you paranoid and afraid. Fear of Maya just makes you fearless. Vajahure mana sri nandanandana abhaya charanadavindare. When we're afraid of Maya, we take shelter of Krishna. When we take shelter of Krishna, we actually become fearless. But we don't take Maya seriously. Her nature is, just give me one little moment of your time. Yes? To devotees, she has to be very deceiving, very creative. Just give me, yes, you're a devotee and you're a wonderful devotee and you're going back to Godhead and all that, but just give me one moment. After all, you know, you need some relief. You need some pleasure. Don't be a fanatic. Just give me a moment. But when you give her a moment, she takes you on a long ride. It's like getting on a little train, and then the train never stops, and it's really going fast, and it's really hard. You can't really jump off. So Maya, just one moment at a time, she just tries to get our attention. So Kal Krishnadas learned that lesson. Even in the service he was doing, still he was vulnerable. But Lord Chaitanya protected him. And when Lord Chaitanya came back to Puri with Kal Krishnadas, he told the devotees, look what he has done. He betrayed me. He left me in the middle of serving me. There was no one else. So now he can go anywhere he wants. He can do anything he wants. But he's relieved of any service to me. He said it right in front of Kalkrishna's. Kalkrishna's heart was broken beyond anybody's comprehension. He started to cry. And do you know what Lord Chaitanya did? Please listen carefully. He walked away. Because he wanted to teach a good lesson that we do have to take responsibility for our actions. But at the same time, he knew that he was setting a standard of how devotees have to be very serious. But then all the other devotees around, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, Swarup Damodar Goswami, all the devotees around, they loved him. They said, we'll give you some service. We'll give you some really nice service. And Lord Chaitanya was internally very pleased because he learned his lesson. And because the Vaishnava, the devotees, were there for him, even with his mistakes. Because they knew all. So these two things, Tani Saravani Samyamya Yukta Asitama. We have to follow very carefully. Vyapashayatma Kabutya Reke Hakulanandana. We can't just think, I'll just do anything I want and Krishna will save me. We have to do our part. Ananyas chintayantomam. Krishna says, if you just try your best, I'll carry whatever you lack. But we have to try our best. That's what bhakti is. To really, honestly, earnestly try our best with humility. Knowing it's not enough. Knowing that ultimately, unless Krishna helps me, there's no way I can resist the powers of Maya. So we try our best and we take shelter. Srila Prabhupada explains, unless one is chanting the Maha Mantra according to their regulative vows, every day one can fall victim to Maya, whoever we are. In other words, we always have to be taking shelter. And in the pure state, when we're actually liberated, then it's our eternal nature to offer the love of our hearts to Krishna, and that's how we take shelter. But in the states of consciousness previous to that, we really have to take shelter by following the principles, by following the teachings with humility, and knowing that if we're not pleasing Krishna, we're not really going to get shelter, no matter what we do. If you offend those that Krishna loves, then he's not going to give you that shelter. And in Sobhari Muni's case, he was actually a very great soul in many ways. But he was very inattentive. He didn't have right association. The same fish that he committed an aparad to protect ended up becoming the cause of his downfall. That's quite a symbolic lesson. That in the material world, even that which we are taking refuge in, if it's not connected to God, to Krishna, those very things that we're trying to get shelter can be our downfall. But it was really a long lesson for him. But because he was a sincere soul, through it all, he actually came to that higher platform. He had practically everything except Trinada Bisunichena, except this humble spirit of taking shelter. And we're going to read in the future verses that he's going to completely take shelter of the Lord. And by Krishna's grace, all of his wives are going to do the same thing because they've been through the same thing with him. They're no happier than him. They attained the same destination. They all went back to Godhead. And they never even had to meditate underwater. They never had to fast. You see, you don't have to go through that. If you just learn from people who do, you can just... All they did is go from their palace to the forest, and then they went back to Godhead. Krishna has appeared in his name. And we have to live a life of service, a life of integrity, a life of morality, according to our capacity. Always humble. Because even if we are very strict, Maya is so strong, she can make us proud of our strictness. We're doing puja to the deities, and we can become really expert in offering puja to the deities, and we can become arrogant about that. I wave the chamara better than anyone else. Really, whatever we do, we can do nirjali kadasi, not eat, not drink anything every ekadasi, year after year after year. And when we see some devotees eating like peanuts and raisins, we think, fallen soul. Look at me. He's eating tapioca. I'm fasting. She's drinking water. What does that mean? That means your stomach's fasting, but your ego is feasting. So we should fast according to our capacity. We should learn. Sometimes we're very, very strict and we see somebody who's not so strict and we become very, very condescending toward them. We should be strict. But if we're proud of our strictness, then we've missed the whole point of it. Krishna might be more pleased with somebody who's not so strict, but who's humbly trying to take shelter, than someone who's arrogant and condescending. So we have to give everything we can to follow sincerely, honestly. But most important is we have to understand whatever I do, samsidhir hari toshanam, it's all just to please Krishna. And if I become proud, if I become critical, so Bari Muni was so powerful he could curse Garuda. If you ever come back here, you will die. Now he had the power of such curses. Of course Garuda couldn't care less. But he never went back there. He honored the curse. Even if he went back, he wouldn't have died because he was humbly taking shelter of Krishna. He was above all these things. So even with all his powers, there was arrogance in his heart. We chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind so that we can actually take shelter, so that we can actually feel our dependence on the Lord. And we honor and respect the Lord's devotees with that understanding. If we're not really trying our best, Krishna's not going to give us shelter. We really have to try our best. And if we do it in the proper consciousness, Krishna will give us shelter. Abhaya charanada vindare. And then we become fearless. Fearless in love. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you, Vijay.